Hello, David here at merchantaccounts.ca with another episode of the Vlogcast. So I recently found out about ChatGPT and it blew my mind. It's blown pretty much everyone's mind who's found out about it. And I was thinking about AI and how it's changing everything and e-commerce is probably one of those things. But I have to admit, I'm not an expert at all in AI. I figured if I'm not an expert, I should probably become at least knowledgeable. So today I'm talking to Wojtek Hotch. Wojtek is a founder of a group called Connection. It's a group of engineers and developers and experts that provide digital solutions, both on the hardware and the software side. Wojtek has a broad range of knowledge, not just in e-commerce, but AI, web development, and I thought he'd have some great insights into this discussion. Wojtek, thanks for joining today.
Thanks, David.
Awesome. So, I mean, when ChatGPT came along, it blew my mind, but is that... For people that don't know about AI, has this been coming for a long time and just it wasn't really in the public eye until recently?
Yeah, it's, you know, development of artificial intelligence started in the 60s. Oh, hell, it started way before. If you look at Odyssey, if you remember having, there's an owl flying around and providing a device. Well, robotics and artificial intelligence started way back then. So the fascination with it, it's long going. The main principles of developing AI, you know, it's hinged on how much data do we have, and there was a threshold at which point we had enough data, but we didn't have enough computing power. So now we actually have both. So now we can actually take this data and actually do something with it. So it's not something that is terribly new, but hasn't been particularly useful in the people's mind, because, you know, it's very esoteric terms like, well, artificial intelligence, well, what does it mean? Show me. Mm-hmm. And there was really nothing in very simple ways to show. Nowadays, for example, as of last month, if you take a ChatGPT, you know, you can tell it to, hey, write me a poem about bikes, and it will do that for you, and then reasonably well. And then us get more sophisticated and using different prompts and so on, you get much better results. So now we have something tangible that you can see, and literally it says, holy shit, like, actually this thing wrote it for me. So that's why I think now you have an evidence of something that's really, really cool. And as you said, majority of people just don't really understand how and what, but mostly they don't really care. It's like, well, this works, and this is artificial intelligence. This is fantastic.
I'm noticing that a lot of people's reaction to it is actually fear, because, you know, I showed it to my dad, I showed it to my mom. Of course, people's minds just go to Skynet. But you know, and I said to them, like, look, technology can be used for, a car can be used for good or bad things. It can be used to transport, you know, things across the country. It could be used for really bad things too. So, you know, like, it's funny when you were chatting and you were talking about how it can write a poem. I remember when I was like, you know, 13 years old or whatever, I hated typing. I didn't know how to type yet. And I had this dream, like, imagine a computer where you could talk the words and then it would like record it onto the screen. I wasn't even thinking big enough. Like, now it's like, I don't have to talk the words. It's like, hey, ChatGPT, just write me an essay. You know, it's just... I think for the layperson, like somebody that doesn't know a lot about this stuff, it's so much better than what I assumed it would have been. And it's just caught me and probably a lot of people unaware. So maybe you look at it and you know the boundaries of it, like what it can do and what are its limits. But to people that are the great uninitiated, it's like, boy, is this going to take my job? What, like... Where's the limits on this thing?
Well, you have to look at maybe generationally. First of all, you know, people usually fear unknown. So therefore you have something that, you know, something that is very difficult to define. Well, this thing sits in my computer. Well, no, it's actually cloud-based. What else does that mean? And then, you know, and then try to explain people what cloud computing is very difficult. And so then, therefore, it's like, okay, we don't fully understand it, so we have a choice, right? Either we embrace it and use it, or we fear it because we don't fully understand it. And I think, you know, in older generations, people were not as easily accepting of the technology of things unless they had a fairly good explanation how that works. give you an example. Like you have, your average teenager, using the phone pretty much 24/7 without really fully understanding how the hell that happens. So yes, you can, do the TikTok videos, you can post, you can do whatever you want, but you don't really care that much how that happens. Whether I think a lot of people in the past would say, well, this is amazing, but I really kind of like to know how this happens. And it was probably a reliance on technology. Let's say you're driving a car and car breaks, then you have maybe some semblance of what might have gone wrong. Maybe you can repair it. As the car, progress and it gets very, very difficult. Like, well, your Tesla died. Well, good luck. Like, it's pretty, not much you can do yourself.
Oh, exactly. My dad's a mechanic and he always complains you can't fix cars anymore.
No, you can't. It's like you either replace it or there was just will take way too much training for a mechanic to be able to do it all. So I think this happens with AI too. Like we have this set of tools and it's it's multiplying in rapid pace. And we have the response of ChatGPT, the Google now all of a sudden has their own versions and Microsoft bought into ChatGPT. There's a host of other things. So I think all of that, it's really critical mass. If you think about it this way, right? We rely on large data sets, massive amount of data to extrapolate meaning and things like that. So, and then by opening up to everybody started playing around with it. So it's learning, and it's learning at a massive rate. So that therefore, just getting better and better and better. just think, AI learning, let's say image recognition. Google is fantastic at that. And then, well, how they learn is by providing you a CAPTCHA. Those four squares says, hey, if you want to go forward, you have to recognize what this is. And this is basically a learning algorithm. If you see a picture of the cat and it's so you just click on it and it's a cat. Excuse me. So that basically it's called human in the loop. You humans, millions of people, millions of humans verifying what Google thinks this image is.
So we're teaching the AI needs us to teach it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's not self-learning, and I don't think it did not will be self-learning for reliably for a long time. So
Right.
the holy grail of AI is a general artificial intelligence, meaning that something that would think for itself. And with the advent of the quantum computing, that's maybe would be possible, but I think we're a fair distance away from that. So I think we,
Interesting.
it is should. So we have those fantastic tools, and I think we could look at, we got them. So what do we do with them?
Well, that's okay. Well, that leads me right to one of my next questions here. I was wondering, is AI too early for most people? And I, you know what? This is such an interesting discussion. This is technically an e-commerce vlogcast. We can go anywhere, but I'm going to try to steer it towards e-commerce.
Well, that was a
So,
segue to e-commerce. Yeah, so.
oh, okay, there we go. So, is it too early for most people? And I'm not talking Amazon. Sure, they have unlimited resources, but a small, mid-sized e-commerce business, like, should they even be thinking about it at this point?
100%. Give you a very, very easy, quick example. Let's say you're building a site that has, I don't know, 500, 600 products. And so to provide these products or more, right? So you have to reliably have an image or set of images for those products, and you have to have descriptions and maybe some features. But what if you cannot easily source that from somewhere? What do you do? How? So you're going to sit there and take images of 500 products or 1,000 or 2,000 or try to source that out content. It's difficult to do. It's doable, but it's difficult. In the past we had like Amazon had the service called Mechanical Turk that basically employs hundreds and hundreds of thousands of humans to do maybe write two or three lines of something, right? It was basically human labor. So now we don't need to do that. For example, again, another example would be you have a number of products and you can add titles to those and then great. So then you tell you set up the program to reach out to AI, ChatGPT, or alternative ones is great. Based on this, here's some basic prompts about this category and so on. I like to have a product descriptions, and we will write it for you. And it literally would reiterate the number of products, and we'll do that. We just did that with a client.
Wow. So it's almost copywriting. It's a small segment of
It is a
copywriting.
copywriting. It's very much copywriting. It's a copywriting. So imagine this. So now you have a set of products written, very generic. And you have, AI attached to the products. And on the other side, on the front side, on the customer facing side, it's you're learning more about the customer. Someone arrives on the site and it goes through the site, so we know what the clicks are, what they read, how much time they spent per page, and so on. Maybe they conducted a search, so we know what they search for. And then once they land on the product suggested by the AI, and we can rewrite the content that is more relevant to that person in the real time.
So I just want to make sure that was crazy. You blew my mind a little bit. I'm going to reword this back. So the server is seeing where you go through the website. It knows roughly the copy that you've already scanned and read and the pages that you visited. So you visit another page and it's going to try to perhaps out of a catalog present items that it knows you're more interested in.
That's already done, but I'm thinking a little further. So, as you, because let's say you arrive in a shop, right, from somewhere, right? So we know where to refer, so we know where it came from. So, A, we know more or less what your IP address is. Maybe we got identified the area you live in, and based on that, we have some very basic demographics. So therefore, if you have some basic demographics, you end up in the site, and again, you go, there's a set of variables we can apply and look at how much time you spend per page. Then we literally customize the content, meaning the language, how the product is presented to you, that fits your buying profile better. And in the background, the more time you spend on the site, we can actually create reasonably good a picture of who the client is. And then we can either suggest things for you, so set up the customer journey that fits your personality better. And then ultimately, as you go deeper through this, then we could get really sophisticated and maybe find out, if there is a piece of you left at the site, well, then we can find things about you. That is not a, eerie or creepy thing, but like you have a presence on the web, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, right? So we can glimpse your personality from that. You can learn from it, and then the wording of the title of the product, wording of the product description could fit your buying profile.
That's so interesting to me because I do have a background in internet marketing and I'm not a copywriter, but there was a time when, I did a lot of that many, many years ago. And I always, and it's maybe it's because, a jack of all trades, master of none, that would be a good way to say it. The point that I'm going to make is if you're selling a service, usually there's your unique selling proposition and you more or less know who your customer is, but at the level you're talking about, I think what you're saying is it's like almost the psychology of it. This person would react better to, is it like this person will react better to a fear-based sales message, like act fast before time's run out, or like is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, even deeper. I mean, just the language of the product description. Let's say if think of if you go to the store, right? The really good salespeople try to match your personality. If someone goes buy a pair of skis and they're a beginner skier, well, there is no sense of you talking about features of the skis and ratings and tensions and whatever. It doesn't matter to them, right? But you would talk to them. Yeah, so you would talk to them, say, hey, what do you ski? Oh, we ski in Ontario. I'm like, well, we're sorry for you, but at the same time, it's like, I think, what kind of snow is it? Well, I don't know, just kind of those hills. All right, well, okay, cool, we get that. You know what? Here's, I think that you'll enjoy the skis the most. Just try these. Whether that, the avid, let's say, racer comes in and goes like, yeah, I am competing, and this is how much I weigh, this is my boots, and So you fit that. So your presentation becomes custom fitted to the person.
That makes complete sense. I can wrap it into my own business, merchantaccounts.ca. Someone doing their first e-commerce website, they need to know what a payment gateway is. They need to know what a merchant account is. If it's a
Absolutely.
big biz, yeah, if it's a big business, it's like, what currencies can you do? What are the rates? Are there minimums? So now I get, here's a question, because that's so, seemingly absurdly sophisticated to me, but maybe it's not. So how achievable is that for a small to mid-sized business? Because I feel like it's not.
It's getting very, very close to it. We talked earlier about generating content already at a product description such. So you could do this. So it could be, let's say we do it on a very simple scale. You have product that have, let's say, two distinct product descriptions. And you tag one, it's sophisticated, and second one simple. And so now you have two, right? And then so they could be very easily achievable, and it could be just added somewhere in the mix that you literally you generate a heat map or generate a very quick analytics, because that analytics already available, right? And you can see, okay, this person that arrived at my homepage spends about 30 seconds here, or the pause mid page, so they read that paragraph and then they did the search for this and this. All right, cool. So having just maybe, and it could be very simple, like almost like a scoring application. If they spend X amount of time of on your page, that equals one or two or whatever. And if they click on this and this equals three. So now you have a total number, could be between, let's say, 5 to 10. And then so the logic is, if this customer spend, this is their score at this any given time, and they go to the product, we'll present them the product that was based on the score. Does that make sense?
Well, it totally makes sense, and you're describing an algorithm. Is this something that your company would do? Is that the type of work? But before you even answer that question, I just want to make one point. I get a flat tire. I need a tire. I know where to buy tires. I feel like this is so complicated that when you answer, maybe you could tell me, like, I wouldn't even know what to search for. You know what I mean? So how do your clients even find you?
Find me personally?
Well, yeah, like, how do I even get started?
Well,
Yeah.
we've been very lucky to work on our reputation and word of mouth. So, and we did some very large projects, and then our reputation spreads through that. And we also work on smaller ones that people just sort of said, this is interesting. I would like to engage. But it's a lot of it's a referrals, because I think most sales, non-scalable sales, are that way.
Because maybe you built something for someone else, maybe a little bit of leveraging AI, and someone they know sees what you did. It's like, boy, that sure was cool. And they want it too.
And a lot of that is just it's just literally like what we're just doing, right? Talking, and you get excited about this, and then you can get other people excited about this. And they go, well, this is really cool. And then it comes to think of it, I really would like to have something like this in my store. Okay, well, let's look at, actually, in fact, that's how a lot of our engagements happen. We start talking about what's possible, how could be, maybe optimize your sales, or maybe create a funnel better, or lead generation. What would that be, like intelligent recommendations? And then we talk about it a little bit, and this is, well, the people get enamored in this, and so it's like, yeah, we really like to explore this. And this is
You know
just,
what?
this is just a very tip of what we do.
It's fascinating to me, I'll tell you. So I don't know if you know this, but when I was like, ever since I was probably about 14 years old or so, I used to write electronic music for many, many years.
Cool.
And I
Yeah, you
mean,
told me that, yeah.
and I used to use something called a tracker, which is a hexadecimal-based way that you sequence samples. The long to short, though, is when I was young, I had no money, no gear, a pile of very poor sounding 8-bit samples, and wild creativity. And when I'm older, I can afford any trinket that I want. I don't have the time like I used to, but like I have unlimited sounds to pull from. It's like an artist. It's actually the constraints I feel that drive creativity. And to me, AI to me feels a little bit too much of a blank white sheet of paper. It's like, what do you want to do? Like, how does someone
Yeah,
even know?
it's,
It's just.
what happens, I think, a lot of times, that you have unlimited options, you choose none. It's an Occam razor principle, right? So if or Hick's law, which is, stipulates if you give somebody more than three or more choices, the chances are of they make actual choice are slim. So I think it's like you talk about mind journey, which is image generation. That's one of many, right? One of the really good ones. So I was just playing around as we were prior to our chat, and I thought, product images. So what if I want to create a product and image based on the title? And I did. It blew me away because it's actually almost exactly what that product is, other than, text on it. It was just incredible.
You
And
know,
so,
you just thought made me think of something, Wojtek, because you're generating images almost in, maybe not in real time, and even if you're not, that'll come, right, eventually.
Well, it is real time, yeah.
Is it? So it's like this is something that I just thought of, right? So I'm doing the podcast with you today. So I got up, I gotta comb my hair, I gotta iron this shirt. Now, if I let's say that we're talking about interchange or something that's more fixed in time. Hey, the rates for to process a Visa card today is 1.6% or whatever it is, right? And then I want to go back and edit that video. Good luck because maybe I spilled barbecue sauce on the shirt and it has a stain now. You can't fit it in. But with AI, it would actually make video and audio malleable in the same way text is. And that's a little bit of a crazy thought to me.
That technology is already available. That you can literally create the video for generated by number of prompts. You can just develop a video. You set up a story, and there is a number of other, companies that do this, and then that's exactly how it would work. It's eerie.
So how many people, I was going to ask this question later, but I just can't wait. Should people be afraid of AI taking some of their jobs? Or, and I'm going to qualify that one a little bit further because this is e-commerce focused. For folks like me, for e-commerce business owners, copywriters, artists, like e-commerce adjacent professionals, which I, by the way, I would consider you as well. Is this good or is it going to be a problem for some people?
I always tell the story of an old pipe fitter. I was afraid that everything is changing, how the heating equipment works and everything else, and then he was afraid that what's gonna happen to me? I'm no longer relevant. And it, to me, it's like, well, you chose not to be relevant, and you have a vast amount of knowledge about your field, and then but your application is very focused. So not a ton of effort, but you can actually apply that vast amount of knowledge to scale your business, to provide the services in a little different way. So I think you have to look at common, maybe an uncommon way. So you have a copywriter. The skill now is it's I mean, you still so inherently what the good copy looks like, what a good headline looks like, if it will work or not. So having that, now you have a set of tools that allows you to be wildly creative and using correct prompts, which is a bit of a learning curve, but you can do that. All of a sudden you can generate a copy faster and you can reiterate faster. Like
So this is a tool to be used. This is a tool to be
Exactly,
used
this is
not
a
just by
tool.
programmers. It's like artists could take advantage of
Exactly.
it.
Yeah,
Okay.
I don't think it's going to change. I don't think it's going to eliminate the jobs. It will eliminate the jobs if people say, oh my God, I'm going to be irrelevant, therefore I'm just going to shut down. Okay, well, it will happen. Some people will not be able to trans, maybe learn new skills or just not willing to learn new skills. It's generally easy to complain that, to the bands. So, think of it this way, right? We talk about mechanics. So the skill set is changing, but it's not being eliminated. I no longer, a lot of people maybe no longer able to troubleshoot and fix the internal combustion engine. Well, that's okay. What if they have an ability and other program tools that will fix that engine for you, right? Either way, you achieve the goal, but maybe applying your skills differently.
That is true. It's like basically you're saying be willing to, I think you're making two points. One, be willing to adapt because that's important. It's like a necessary life skill. You want to be set in your ways. You can be set in your ways all the way to, you know, your grave, but it doesn't
Oblivion,
make
yep.
for a very happy life. And the other one is learn how to use those tools. They can be most often a benefit. You just have to learn how to take advantage of it, which might require some creativity.
Yeah, and you know, and again, it's like it's to some it will become totally overwhelming because there's just so much. There isn't, you know, for and we just basically, you know, don't even scratch the surface of the topic of AI and e-commerce and its applications, which I think we should talk about next. But it's, you know, there is you have something that's called internet, almost infinite access to information. You know, you search for something, if you know how to search well, then you can find the answers. And then, you know, let's say if you go YouTube says, hey, show me how to do X. Well, yeah, we got 150 or 200,000 videos tells you how to do it. Okay, then it's totally up to you then. It says, okay, well, I'm going to watch them all, so then you have an exact picture how to do it. Or you're going to maybe watch five and extrapolate from that. So here's the best cases, here's the worst cases, you know, best for me to follow this and try it. And then if I get stuck, you know, I will ask again.
Maybe there'll be a cottage industry or an industry of people that helps other professionals learn how to take advantage of
It's
AI.
already there. I literally, if you go, you know, go on Twitter and you know, there was God knows how many hundreds of people saying, well, you know, ChatGPT is a fantastic thing. Unfortunately, corporations are missing like 87.2% of its potential. You know, sign up here and we'll send you this limited 275 prompts. You can use it better. And to me, and it's kind of humorous because, you know, to me, it's like anytime you see a seminar or a webinar or any type of information sales that says, you know what, I figured this way. I am just so great. I figured it out. Now I'm going to give it away. Sign up. Really? Like, what the hell did you want to all of a sudden give it away, something that took you years to develop and you partly benefited from it? I don't believe that altruism that way. So I think,
No,
you know,
it's
there is people put together these prompts, put together this series of things, how to do it, and you know, be upfront about it. Look, I figured it out. I spent the last 2 years working on it. I am damn good at it. I'll teach you how to do it. Pay me for it.
that
That
makes
could be
sense.
refreshing.
Well, that does make sense. And when you were speaking, you reminded me back in the day, like in the Alta Vista days, like in the old, maybe pre-Google or even when Google came around, it's like companies be like, pay us $500. We will, submit you to the top 1,000 search engines. It's like, well, can you name more than five? Right. So,
Yeah.
I think there will be the good people and the not so good. I also think this is funny because so far in this discussion, every time that I have like some vision, so that weekly, oh, they did that a month ago. It's just moving so quickly. It's blowing
is.
my mind. So
It
I'm
is.
gonna ask you. I like this. I better just hand the torch over to you, let you run with it. Because what's the most interesting thing or the most interesting use of AI in e-commerce that you've seen or heard of someone doing?
Well, you know, okay. So you have a few branches, right? What are we mostly talking? I think it's most apparent to a lot of people is generative AI, which generates content, whether it's like copy, or you know, images. And conversely, ChatGPT actually can be used to write code. So, and it's pretty decent. Someone says, "Hey, write me a plugin for WordPress that does this and this and this," and it will do that for you, and you can test it. It's amazing. So there is a number of things. So generative AI, then there is other fields, like for example, hyper automation, which is relies on an AI too. And what hyper automation is, you know, rapid processing of complex documents. So imagine that, you know, in your business or payment business, you have, you know, you need to set up the a payment system for somebody, and somebody will have to send you a set of documents that will comply with certain things. Well, you know, the corporate registration versus, you know, bank statements or whatever it is that you might need, they will vary greatly what they look like. And so, you know, typically you would have to process it manually, try to understand what's on them and how do they fit, and then, you know, make a decision based on that. So what a hyper automation or otherwise intelligent document processing works, it's AI trained document recognition. You upload one set of documents. It might have a 15 different types of invoices. We'll actually recognize this is, yes, we upload an invoice. Those are the main fields. This is how they map to something else. And we'll streamline your business for you. So if you're dealing with multiple vendors or multiple systems, and you don't have a full-time accounting staff looking in and invoices trying to transcribe these, well, then upload bunch, train them for a little bit, design a model. Yes, we're dealing with a clothing industry. This is what the invoices look like. Those are the fields. And next time somebody uploads, invoice to be scanned and added to your accounting, we'll just do it automatically. Boom, just saves you a ton of time. So that's
That's
one of
interesting.
the things that, AI will help immensely. Then, for example, one of the things, one of the companies I work with, it was amazing. So think of it this way. So another idea or use of AI is catalog. So a lot of sites depend on having proper catalog, and then you have the classified information. Let's say you have a catalog for clothing retailer. Excuse me, and they might have a 200, 300 different brands. Each brand might have thousands of different, pieces of clothing, suits and pants and whatever. Try to imagine that somebody would actually have to classify image. Oh yeah, this is a female, 5'8", 130 pounds, wearing pants suit made of, 30% wool, 20% rayon, and whatever else. And this is the fit, and so on and so on. So you kind of have to, someone has to do this, right? So so the catalog has to be active. So imagine that we have a AI-driven image recognition and a classification added to it. That, let's say, a vendor applies 1,000 images of models wearing clothes, and within minutes or seconds, maybe depending on the computing power, all of a sudden those images are classified, meaning they're divided by male, female, approximate size, the height, the weight, approximately, the size of the garment. We can recognize the cut of the garment. Was it, Tom Ford or Prada? What the fabric might be depending on the leg of the person. And so all of a sudden you're just creating catalog just by uploading an image.
Wow. That's so you mean like you can upload some and then it can generate more. Maybe it could generate alternative colors for the
Well, you can
same
generate
garment.
more importantly, can rip right through images, recognizes who they are, what they are,
Oh, and create the whole page.
and create a whole page, and further to that, just create your entire catalog with automatically generated variables. Right? So let's say I have a picture, or I have a your picture, and I'm not telling my computer what kind of shirt you're wearing, how tall you are, what size you are, any of that, right? And I upload the picture to the catalog, and all of a sudden, the system will take it. Says, okay, this guy is approximately 6 foot tall, roughly about 175 to 180 pounds. Is wearing shirt, this color is blue, and getting more sophisticated. Chances are this is the brand. Chances are this is the fabric he's using, without having human input at all.
It's so what when you're first taking a bite of something and you're just seeing that it's overwhelming. Like I just want to revisit another question one more time.
Sure.
And it's not that you didn't do a good job of answering it. I think you did, but it's like if I had some idea, like if I had an online clothing brand and I wanted to use AI. Now you've described AI in the sense of automation, bringing automation that would typically not be available to a smaller business, but the AI can do the mapping and stuff like that. Or you just mentioned the one with your images. But ultimately, what would be the very, if someone was sitting across from me and saying, Wojtek, how do I just, like I got this, whatever it is, clothing brand. Give me some advice to like get my toes in the water of AI. Where do I go? What do I learn? What do I read? Who do I talk to? What would you say?
Well, we have to find out what your goal is. Like, what do you want to achieve with AI? Because it's it's very nebulous. It's you have to say, so, well, what do you want to, okay, let's say you have a clothing business. And then, so my question would be, great. Well, what do? Use manufacturing or sales? Are you, if you're manufacturing this, okay, great. How do you generate your catalog? And do you sell it online or not? And how do you provide the information that you have about your product to your potential vendors,
Of
to sales
course.
outlets?
Of
And then
course.
is it all manual? Do you go to literally sit there and take, thousands of pictures of people wearing your clothes? Or, how valuable is your time? What would you rather do? Right? Would you rather find out new cool ways of manufacturing this, this and that? Or, right? So
Of
it's a goal
course.
oriented thing. So if someone says, you know what, this is great, but what I really want to do, I want to streamline my flow. Like I get the purchase order, and I don't want to do it by hand. I need something to recognize it, to be able to feed exactly, all the way up to automate my production line. Look at Amazon. It's a very good example. If you go buy a book from Amazon, that book doesn't exist in real sense. If you want a paper book, it will print it to you on the demand from the general content and send it to you. They don't,
That
because it's impossible to stock millions and millions of books. Why would you do that? You print on demand and
good
send it to
point.
you.
You know what you made me realize? And you can't see it, but my light bulb finally went off in my brain because it's so exciting and so overwhelming. But I do have a background in web stuff, and here's what I always say. Give a new business $1 million on their website, they'll have a $50,000 website with $950,000 wasted because they don't know what
Pretty
problems they
much.
have. So here's the point. AI is not magic, but it's good at solving problems. So figure out what your problem is, and then maybe you can start seeing, hey, how can AI help me dig into this a little bit?
It's that's one way of looking at it. I think of what your goal is. And I use like a strategy, if you will, framework. Right, you basically start it and I try to read it to you. You have to have a vision, skills, incentives, resources, and action plan. So when we do some consulting, I ask people, what's your vision? And vision is not nebulous thing like, well, we want to benefit the world because we want to feed cows and whatever. Like, I don't care. What's your vision? What do you want to do? And
Like a
then work
practical question. You
very
want a
practical.
practical
What?
answer to
Yeah.
that question.
So you have a
Okay.
store, let's say your business, and then my question is, well, okay, great. What do you want to do? What do you want to take your business? And then he goes, well, I would like to grow to $20 million in sales per week by next week. I'm like, nice to see you, have a coffee and good luck. He can't help you.
Right.
But, and then and this is like, well, what's more realistic? Like, what would you like to do? Well, I'd like to grow in business X amount of percent based on my experience. I say, great. So we can achieve this. And you have to say, great. Then you look at, do you have skills, in order to achieve your vision? And you can say, well, I'm not really sure. Okay, we'll examine that. And then, so then let's say AI comes in. Let's say you have to generate a number of leads per week. Okay, well, I might not have the skills to do that. Okay, well, let's find a way, a program or system, or build something that would allow you to supplement those skills. Great. So now we have skills. Then incentives. Do you fully, truly understand what the incentives are? Like, why do you want to build this business? What does it mean to the business and ultimately to you? Or you want to achieve more sales? Well, yeah, that's great. You can do it at any time, but what effort? What ultimately would benefit you from this or a business? Do you want to go to the company, provide for your people, make more money, be secure? What is the incentive? And it becomes real at that point. And after incentives, then you say, okay, well, do I have resources to do all that? And I understand what my vision is, have a very clear idea. I know how to either augment or build or acquire skills. And then we have incentives. We know why we're doing all this. So now we have resources. Like, do you have enough people to do this? Do you need to hire more people? Do you have funding, or do you have enough? So, the resources part is always fun to deal with people because someone says, yeah, I want to have a great e-commerce site. It has a 50,000 SKUs. Well, fantastic. They have a skill. We can, have 20 people here. We can do the sales and we are fantastic in all this. Well, good. Why are you doing this? Because we want to get rich and provide for the kids. Awesome. you have resources. Who's going to pay for it? Well, maybe we just thought we'll build something and it'll happen. No, it's not going to happen. You have to have a very clear idea, how to get resources, how to optimize the resources to be able to align with everything else. And finally, if you have all that, excuse me, then you have an action plan. So those are the five things. And then again, like I look at it, let's maybe figure out how to help you write your goals and visions and things like that with AI. Maybe it'll help you understand a little bit better, clearer. And then skills, like, do you have the proper skill set? What would that be? Do you have to invest in building software that will augment those skills and AI driven, whether it's a, hyper automation, whether it's a generative AI, what is it? It's like a very specific e-commerce driven thing. So we help along the way develop the system and make sure all this is in sync.
That was some really great advice, and it's a broad topic, so it's hard to break it down. So I think you're basically making the point, like, there's got to be a business behind it, and then you follow what you said. So I'm going to ask, is Cognexion, I hope I pronounced that properly, your company, is that working on any interesting AI e-commerce related things? I'm curious if you have anything that you wanted to talk about there.
We do. Some we can talk about, some we can't. You have a subsidiary company. So we have a subsidiary company, it's called Nomadic M, which deals with web development, e-commerce development specifically. But we worked on one of the things, for example, we're working on, it's building a lead generation platform that it might not sound sexy, but it's really cool. And then I think we apply to a lot of different businesses, for example, that will, you end up in the site, you engage a certain way, and then after a few minutes, then we'll present you content that is relevant to your prior engagement. Mm-hmm. And then it prompts you for an action. So let's say you answer some questions, you engage in the content, you glimpse some recommendations on something that might be relevant to you. And then I think this is really interesting. This is like, well, what's the next step? Well, next step would be, you want to book a call with us or an appointment for a demo or for the discussion. And AI kind of guides you along the way, because at that point we can say, okay, give us your phone number or email, and we'll set something up. And we learn from interaction who you are more or less, and we have some sense of an idea how would you respond to next prompts. So we'd say, yeah, it is my phone number, this is a couple notes, this is what I want to talk about. So then we can use the AI, if let's say we're using automated chat with let's say we'll take a Google dialogue flow, which attempts to understand human language, natural language processing. And your response, you might get a text from, a Josh, a bot, and say, hey, David, this is great. Really appreciate your interest. We're looking really forward to talking to you. Is there anything you want us to send you ahead of time? So you really think you're engaging with human, and also engages you with the similar language that you're used to. And if you get really sophisticated, we can engage with you with similar personality.
Oh, because ultimately, it's like, this is the type of person you would be friends with in real life. You get in a psychology group of people, disagreeable people. Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, look, people ultimately like to do business like people, And so then you go, oh, this is really cool. Nah, Josh, I really like to learn more about X. And then cool. And then, the email comes back or text comes back or whatever the platform might be. The automated system looks at it, says, great, hey, David, we're going to send you some more stuff, so I know we have a call next week, but here will be some really good things that you can read about. So we have a really intelligent discussion that it's all automated. So going back to the five tenets of the strategy, the skills. So now you don't have to have, 5, 10, 20, 30 people on your lead generation group. You might have three. And if you program it correctly, if you build the models that respond to those queries, all of a sudden you can have hands-free lead generation system that works for you 24/7. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't get discouraged.
That's really fascinating to me, and the deep psychology of that is beyond my expertise far, but I see
Yeah,
the
you know what?
opportunity for it.
I don't have a book here with me, but there is a book I would suggest you would read, but I can't find it now because somewhere in there.
What you can do is
Oh,
give
yeah,
it to me
hold on a
after
sec.
the chat. Oh, you got
Yeah,
it?
I'm gonna
Okay.
show it to you right now because it's fascinating. It is called Predicting Personality. So
Interesting.
take that. Right, and using AI to understand people to win more business. So it's kind of what we were just talking about. And I'm obviously not associated with them. I just find it fascinating that
Who's that book by? I'm going to link to that in the
it is by Drew D'Agostino and Greg Squatt.
Thank you.
You know, look at there was a guy in like 70s and 80s. 90s maybe, Harvey McCabe. I don't even remember that. Harvey McCabe, Swimming with Sharks books and things like that. Look it
I
up.
don't remember that.
Yeah,
Yeah, don't.
it's fascinating because Harvey, that was he had an envelope company and he developed something. He had like I think 66, I think it's 66 questionnaire for his salespeople. So they were required to put 66 questions and filled in something about prospective buyers. And, now, of course, we would think this is like, well, maybe invasion of privacy. Screw this. No, it's not. You just can't, you gotta do business with somebody. You better than well know who you're doing business with. So we can supply them the relevant information without wasting time. So, that system, ask questions about preferences, all kinds of things. And the sales guys were great, like basically, they would relate to you and ultimately understand how you buy things and sell you things based on your real needs rather than try to cram something.
Wojtek, one of the things, I'm just curious about your opinion on this, okay? So I've heard the founder of Gmail, because you know newspapers always love like the more sensationalist headlines. But anyways, he was quoted as saying, the founder of Gmail was quoted as saying ChatGPT is going to kill Google within 2 years, and that Google can't do anything about it because if it incorporates its own AI, it will undermine its own search results, which is where, by providing all the listings, they embed all of the paid links, which is where still today where most of Google's revenue comes from. But anyways, I have this feeling that I don't think that ChatGPT will kill Google or search, because I think there's room for both. And I personally, I think if you're looking for a restaurant, I'm not going to say, "Hey, ChatGPT, what should I eat today?" like I want to know the restaurants in the area, or a service provider, like I'm looking for a lawyer. But anyways, I want to know what you think. How is ChatGPT going to impact Google or traditional search?
I agree with you. I think I don't think necessarily, it's like saying, well, electric car will kill the entire, car industry. Well, no, that's not going to happen. I think people probably will realize that carbon footprint of, but that's a different discussion. But it's, Google is a tool. It's a very specific tool. It relies on intelligence, also relies on indexing a massive amount of sites and then brings that relevance to what you search for. And it looks at the number of variables where you are and so on. So it's a tool, it's a search tool. Naturally by them collecting, immense amount of information, they also have, their own AI platform, cloud computing, everything else. So they just have a vast amount of services they provide based on intelligence gathered. What a ChatGPT is, how incredibly immense it is. But it is really predicated on understanding human language and outputting something that you ask or program it in. So I don't, it's not a search engine. Could be used as a search engine, but at the same time, you could use a statue of a bust of something to as a hammer. Like, well, why would you? Yeah, it's effective, but it's not. So
Well,
I think that you'll probably see both services. They're advancing rapidly. I mean, it's unfathomable about 2 months ago, 3 months ago to look at it. And this is great. Like, it's incredible that I can generate this and that. So I think the more knowledge in claims, the better it gets, the better users you'll have. And then I think that, the underlying knowledge and the amount of information that would be utilized in ChatGPT or similar services, it would be very different than Google.
Yeah.
It's so.
Different tools for different situations, right? Different tools for
Exactly.
different
It's like,
situations.
I can go to MindJourney and actually, search for something too. Well, yeah, because what it is, it's have a, think of it this way, it has an input that the box that we feel and interact with, it tries to understand what are we asking, right? And then so the power of this thing is basically based on a, natural language processing. So because, we ask something, hey, I want to generate this, or build me this, or ask the question, and try to understand it, how relevant it is that what you're asking, and present it to you in the way you want it to be presented. But at Google, has immense power. Again, natural language processing is you type in, and you try to understand what are you asking me for, and how relevant I can show it to you, how quickly I can show you that is most relevant to you. So these are two different sets of skills.
Although I do feel this, and your knowledge is so much more than mine, but I'm picking up bits, and I feel like, oh gosh, I want to make a silly analogy, right? Like if you were growing up to be a professional fighter, right, and you happened to be naturally be 6 foot 8 and 400 pounds, and you took judo, for the last from the age of 3 years old, you got a pretty good chance. I kind of feel that's like Google. Like they are an index of so much information. They are so good at presenting information in multiple languages. Like I feel in terms of an AI, they, other than maybe being too big, and organizations get too big sometimes or too slow, but don't they have every advantage in that regard?
Not necessarily.
No,
Bruce
interesting.
Lee used to say, Bruce Lee used to say that, I am not afraid of man who knows a thousand ways
Oh,
to kick, right? I am afraid of men who practice one kick a thousand times.
Yes, classic.
So just because you've vast access and you have so many faucets, so many different things, and you have to understand. Most people maybe don't understand it fully, but just because Google provides you a service, right? The amount of, let's say you have a cloud computing, a number of people, have a cloud hosting, let's say, and so you have, it's basically hosting business, not terribly sexy. Provide a business, and then so people will sign up. Thousands of people might sign up to build a website. Let's say, I don't know, simple WordPress site. So then Google learns from it and says, "Great! So next time, next iteration, or any information that presents, it's driven from that. So it's a self-learning algorithm almost. And so the more, it's like a tentacles. The more tentacles you have, and it's not a negative connotation. The more information they can bring in and utilize for something." ChatGPT is very much the same way, and it has a access to immense amount of information that learns from it at an exponential rate. So therefore, it answers and again interacts with you differently. So it's excuse me, it's two different. I think they will be probably complementary. There will be other services like that. I think as it grows, there will be more players.
Right. It's too early to tell, basically. And big doesn't mean
It's
they
too early
win.
to tell. I
Yeah,
mean,
exactly.
I think AI researchers have a pretty good understanding of, obviously, pretty good understanding, much better than I ever will, that what it's capable now. Might not have a full understanding of what it would be capable in the next 6 months to a year, because I think it might evolve rapidly. And then again, remember, like, I can always output, let's say I ask the question, and the question's been in Google present to me a specific way my answers, and I might like the answer is not, but there is no way for me to interact. I can just say, I can type a search again, but a lot of times the Google doesn't know if I'm actually asking about my previous query or is it the new query. so
Right.
so not necessarily learns from my particular mistakes. Where a
Yes.
ChatGPT, if you ask a question, if you have one chat open, you ask us the question, and if you keep asking or modifying something within the chat, actually learns from that interaction. So
So very,
next iteration of the interaction is that much better.
it's fundamentally different in that way. Exactly. Exactly.